Good evening. The time is 8 p.m.
QST, QST, calling all amateur, calling all radio amateurs. This is KO4ZKY, activating the 5-year Amateur Radio Association General Service Net. This net is held weekly on Wednesday at 8 p.m. local time on the 147.165 MHz W4VA repeater in Wellington, Virginia. The Fair VH repeater is owned and operated by the Fauquier Amateur Radio Association and uses 167.9 Hz sub-audible tone for access. If members or other listeners would like further information, please see our website at w4va.org or send a note to fairnet at w4va.org. The purpose of this net is to provide a forum for technical discussion and Q&A regarding technical topics, such as equipment hardware, computer software, antennas, operating procedures, and other similar information related to the radio light. I'll hand it over to my dad, K4BOX, for the rest of this net. This is K4ZKY.
And this is K4BOX picking up the rest of the net. Now, I guess we will do a call for any topics. I think Rich, K1HTV, had been researching something that he wanted to bring up, but is there anybody else who wants to be added to the list? Okay, hearing nothing. This is the Wednesday net, so we will have a check-in on the FAR UHF repeater immediately following the VHF net. The UHF repeater is on 442.25 megahertz with the same PL tone. Unfortunately, I do not have UHF capabilities in my shack, so hopefully somebody else will run that. And now, does anybody have any announcements?
K1HTV.
K1HTV, go ahead, Rich.
For the group, don't forget, this coming Saturday, 8 o'clock at the Bistro, Hospital Hill, we have our monthly breakfast. Hope to see you guys there. That's all.
Awesome. Thanks for that, Rich. And I've got you checked in, too. So, are there any other announcements?
W4RKU.
W4RKU, go ahead.
K4BOX, W4RKU, just in addition to the breakfast, we will be having our meeting February 9th, which is coming up in 2 weeks from tomorrow. So, you'll have dues to pay. Get them in. Time's getting short. Back to you, K4BOX, W4RKU.
Awesome. Thanks for that, Kevin. So now we'll begin a round of check-ins. I will say I actually did get NetLogger running so that I could use that for this net. Unfortunately, though, my personal computer bricked itself this morning, so I am back to pad and paper, so I apologize if I don't catch people's names. I have Kevin checked in as well. So let's start with any Echolink check-ins. Do we have anybody on Echolink tonight? Okay, hearing nothing. Do we have any mobile or portable stations that want to check in first?
K5BOY.
I am afraid that I already got that call sign wrong. I have K5BAY, but it says you're out of Texas. So could you give me your call one more time?
Yes, sir. It's a Kilo Echo 5 Bravo Alpha Yankee, and yes, I am from Texas, but I'm living now in New Baltimore. I just joined the club about a year and a half ago.
Awesome. And now I totally have the right call sign. Thank you very much. Now we'll take any other check-ins.
Kilo 3 Foxtrot Romeo.
Kilo Oscar 4 Whiskey Yankee X-Ray. No comment.
Kilo Mike 4, Oscar Zulu Hotel.
KM 4, FPO.
Whiskey Bravo 7, Romeo Alpha Victor. Comment.
KY 4, OP. No comment.
W 8, BT. No comment.
KO 4, VNZ.
Okay, let's hold it right there. I got most of those. But in that last round, I got K3FR. KO4WYX, and then I got Gil. I know it was Gil. I heard the voice, but I'm blanking on the call sign. Sorry about that, Gil, if you could come back. And then I got KN4SPL, I got a W call sign. I'm sorry, I flubbed that one too. And then I got KY4OP, W8BT, both of those were no comment, and then KO4VNZ.
Yeah, here he is, Kilo Mike 4, Oscar, Zulu Hotel.
Whiskey Bravo 7, Romeo Alpha Victor, no comment.
KO4NLR.
KO4RPW, no comment.
Okay, I got two more fresh calls. Thank you for the two people who gave me the corrections. So I have KO4NLR, Bree, and then I got, I think I messed up that call sign. I am apparently in rare form tonight. KO4NRW, was it? No comment?
Romeo Bravo Whiskey.
Awesome. Thank you for the correction. Any last check-ins before we start going for a round of comments? Okay. Let's go up to the top then, and we'll start with our one mobile station, which was KE5BAY. Do you have a comment for us tonight?
None. I was just a new member trying to get active, checking in on the various meetings and that sort of stuff. Just bought a new HT. Hopefully my audio quality is sufficient. Thank you very much. That's it.
Yeah, your audio sounds great. Thank you for checking in. And then we'll go up to the very top of the list now that we've got the mobiles. And we'll start with Rich, K1HTV.
Garth, this is K1HTV in Amosville. Just a couple of notes here. Got a note from Katie, K4TER, that four hams were at the most recent testing session this past week, and one of them upgraded from novice to technician. It's KB4CYU, and then there are a number of KF4 Foxtrot calls. Four hams, KF4 FSL, FSW, FSV, and there's another one, it's KD9WKD, and from Illinois, so that's probably was issued as an Illinois call, since the home QTH was Illinois, but he took the exam in Virginia. So that thanks to Katie and David for all the work they're doing to bring new hams online. A while back, earlier this week, John, KX4O, sent an email. He said, I wonder if K1HTV could give a short snippet on how the various predictive models from a couple of years ago are holding up what is actually happening in this solar cycle. We're in solar cycle number 25. So did a little searching. I've attended a number of meetings held by Scott McIntosh of the National Center for Atmospheric Research. Basically, the NOAA-NASA prediction, which is a consensus prediction. They don't tell you how they get it. No math. Just they have 40 plus experts get together and they hammer out a number, and they came out with a number for this prediction number for the solar cycle 25. Their number. They said that the solar cycle 25 will be a fairly weak solar cycle. They predicted a solar flux. Smooth solar flux maximum of 136 and a peak sunspot number of 115. They say the peak will occur in July of 2025. Well, another group came along. The group is headed by Scott McIntosh and of, as I say, National Center for Atmospheric Research, and Bob Lehman of the University of Maryland, Baltimore County. They did some research and they've been crunching the numbers, the solar numbers, and they've come up with an event called the termination event. The whole cycle 24 finally died. It was terminated, said McIntosh. And cycle 25 can take off. So what does that mean? Well, the termination event is a kind of a new idea in solar physics outlined by McIntosh and his crew. And not everybody accepts it yet. But if solar cycle 25 unfolds, as McIntosh and Lehman predict, the termination event will have to be taken seriously. Now, the basic idea is this. Solar cycle 25 started in December of 2019. However, old solar cycle 24 refused to go away. It hung on for two more years, producing occasional odd cycle sunspots and clogging the sun's upper layers with its decaying magnetic field. During this time, two cycles coexisted. Cycle 25 struggled to break free, while old cycle 24 held it back. Cycle 24 is cramping Cycle 25 style, says Lehman. Anyway, researchers have long known that solar cycles can overlap. The twist added by McIntosh and Lehman is the realization that the overlapping cycles interact. This makes sense. In the early 20th century, a fellow named George Ellery Hale discovered that magnetic polarity of sunspot pairs reverse itself every one cycle. Basically, it's a 22-year cycle. Half of it one phase, positive, and the other half, the spots are negative. So the field flips every 11 years, as I mentioned. When adjacent opposite polar cycles overlap, they naturally will interfere with each other, causing the new cycle to not break loose. The timing of the termination event can predict the intensity of the new cycle. In their paper, they wrote, they looked back over 270 years of sunspot data, and they found the termination event occurs every 10 to 15 years. They say, we found that the longer the time between terminators, the weaker the next cycle would be. Conversely, the shorter the time between the terminators, the stronger this next solar cycle would be. So when they made their prediction, they looked at when they determined when the terminator occurred. And if you do a Google search for Scott McIntosh, and you'll notice that he has quite a few videos explaining graphically with many demo slides exactly how they determine when the terminator occurs. So, when did the terminator occur? It occurred on December 2021. And they this date, now they have that number, they could figure out a testable prediction for solar cycle 25. They said, we have finalized our forecast for solar cycle 25. It will be just above the historical average with a monthly smooth sunspot cycle of 190 plus or minus 20. Think of that back versus the 115 sunspot number that the NASA NOAA group had predicted. So above average may not sound exciting, but this is in fact a sharp departure from the NOAA forecast for a weak solar cycle. So this could be just enough to catapult the terminators into the forefront of solar cycle prediction techniques. We'll find out, but as it stands now, if you do a Google search for solar cycle 25 chart, and you will see the predicted model in red on some of these charts, and then the actual what's happening now in a slightly different color, and then a darker black color, which is the smooth monthly number, sunspot number. Smooth number is already far exceeding the predicted NOAA NASA group. So it looks like the McIntosh, Bob Lehman group may have nailed it. So we'll figure out. We won't know until the final note. In the last event that I attended online, the Zoom call by McIntosh, he said the solar cycle will not occur, the peak will not occur in mid-2025, as NOAA NASA expects. He said the prediction for the sunspot peak will occur between 9 and 18 months from now. So between 9 and 18 months, we should see the peak of the solar cycle 25 if the McIntosh group is accurate. So don't waste any time to get on the higher bands. Make noise. The bands are in great shape. That's it. End of the message. Back to Net Control. This is K1HTV.
Hey, thanks for that, Rich. That was really interesting, so I appreciate you sharing that with everybody. This is K4BOX. Next up is Kevin, W4RKU. How's it going, Kevin?
K4BOX, W4RKU in the next. Good evening, Garth. I'm doing great. Nice to hear your voice on here, and Oscar there that he did a great job introducing the net tonight. So even some of the harder words he did very well with. Not much. Just tell what Rich said there. Yeah, the upper band's been super good and long. I've been knocking out a lot of 10-meter contacts. Countries, Europe and South America and all over on 10 meters. It's amazing. wasn't too long ago that I, you know, thought 10 meters was about worthless. So you never know. Other than that, not much else. I've been, did today's CWT, I'll do tonight. Reconfiguring my OP25 Pi. I got working now, with the help from a guy, in Michigan, who got me started in the right, you know, corrected my, where I was. So, that's all I have for tonight. I'll turn it back over to you, Garth. K4BOX, W4RKU, back to the net.
Awesome. Thanks for that, Kevin. I'll have to check out 10 meters. I haven't played around on 10 meters now in a couple months, a few months. And you're not the first person that I've heard that said that it's a pretty hot band right now, so I'll have to check that out. Next up is K3FR. Ron, how are you doing?
Excellent, Garth. Thank you very much. And I want to say at my kudos to Oscar there. I think he did an excellent job in the call-up. Looking forward to hearing him actually leave the net sometime soon. I am back on the air. I got a power supply Monday morning to replace the one that I burned up. I'm going to pull the cover off the old one and see how badly the board was smoked. Overall, only about three dozen contacts and just a few, less than a dozen multipliers. So not a huge score, but I did have some fun finishing it out on Sunday night with the handy talkie on FM when Gil got back in town. So I'll leave it for you to, for him to explain how well he did, hoping that things worked out quite well for him. K4BOX, K3FR.
Awesome. Thanks for that, Ron. Next up is KO4WYX, Matt.
This is KO4WYX. I don't have much for the net. I've been working a lot, so I haven't played a lot of radio for the past couple of days. But I do plan on seeing everybody on Saturday at the breakfast. Stop by and saying hello. But that's all I got. KO4WYX, back to net.
Awesome. Thanks for that. Next up is Gil, KM4OZH.
K4BOX and KO4ZKY. This is KM4OZH. Well, good evening, Garth. And your son did a fine job this evening, so that's it was exciting to hear that. Anyway, well, let's see. So as Ron mentioned, I mean, this was the VHF contest weekend, and I was pretty busy and fun over the weekend. Of course, I was operating with the new mode FT8, new to me, and I guess it worked out all right. It's, you know, it's something new to get used to, especially in a mobile situation. Nothing failed, so that was all good, and you know, brought everything back alive myself too. I appreciate Rich K1HTV being in there all the time. He was there the whole weekend. I think it was only one grid square maybe that I activated that I didn't make a contact with him up in Pennsylvania. And so it was 16 contacts from him. So that was all good. And of course Travis was in there with a half a dozen, but I got every nickel. And but I did activate 8 grids. I'm looking at other Rover soapbox spiels. You know, some of them activate 10 grids. I just don't know how that's possible. Their grids out west, the grids must be smaller. That's the only thing I can figure, because it's all I can do. I mean, it is really a strain to get to 8 and set up and go there. But I did 163 QSOs and 43 multipliers, so I got a claim score of a little over 8,400 points, which is a record for me, certainly for January. So, and I did work Toronto on 2 meters and Connecticut on 2 meters and Kansas on 6 meters, all on FT8. So it was working, and I'm having questions whether I have something not set exactly right in there, because it seems like that I've got good signal reports that I didn't get an answer from. So, but it was always on 6 meters and not on 2 meters. Well, I was running 90 watts on 6 meters and 150 on two. So maybe that had something to do with it. All in a learning experience. And so that's all I got for this evening. Had a good time. I haven't submitted my log yet. Still going over it. Back to net, KM4OZH.
Hey, that sounds really great, Gil. Congratulations on your personal best score. That's some of those contacts sound really cool. Next up is KN4SBL. Bob, how you doing, Bob?
Good evening, Garth and Oscar and all on the net. This is KN4SBL. Don't have a whole lot to report. Fortunately, I missed the QSO party over the weekend. I wish I would have been able to participate in that. But tonight I'm in the shack, and I think I have a slight RFI issue tonight on 80 meters. Every time I try to transmit on 80 meters on FT8, my plasma TV on the wall keeps turning on. So I'm saying I have a little bit of an RFI issue going on, because it freaked me out the first time, but I've tried to transmit several times now, and every time it pops on, so I don't know. I'm going to have to look into that. Besides that, that's all I got. So I'm going to give it back to you, Garth and Oscar. This is KN4SPL, back to net.
Awesome. Thanks for that, Bob. Yeah, it's funny you should mention, I have some RFI in my house on 80 meters, too. There's a light, a touch light, in my daughter's room that lights up anytime I transmit on 80 meters. So I have to make sure that I only use 80 meters when she's awake. Otherwise, it'll wake her up. Next up is WB7RAV Randy. Thank you for your patience while I goofed up your call sign. How are you doing?
This is WB7RAV. Not doing too bad. Thanks, Rich, for the comments about Solar Cycle. Got to get ready for it all. Nothing going on here. Did some Barack chatting over a few days ago for the weekend, and on Monday. Been busy doing other things since then, but getting a little bit on the HF. Other than that, not much else going on. This is WB7RAV, back to net.
Awesome, thanks for that. Next up was KY4OP, Nick. He was no comment. W8PT, Travis, no comment. This is K4BOX for ID purposes. Next up is Chuck, KO4VNZ.
KB4BOX. This is KO4VNZ, Chuck. Been pretty quiet here this week. I have a power problem, so I haven't been able to even power up the HF ring yet. I spent most of the week just doing some reading and looking at ham-related videos on YouTube. Beyond that, I just wanted to say I'm not going to be able to make the breakfast. The doctors have me in isolation pending the surgery that I got coming up, and that same surgery will probably keep me from physically making the club meeting, but I'll be at the club meeting on WebEx. This is a surgery I had to put off. I had to put off the surgery because the wife had COVID at the beginning of the month. So that's about all for me. This is Chuck and Opal, KO4VNZ, 73, and back to net.
Hey, thanks for that, Chuck, and good luck on your surgery. I hope everything goes well. Next up is Bree, KO4NLR.
This is KO4NLR. Good evening to everyone on the net. Lately, I've been playing around on 10 meters. I was actually able, I think around a week ago now, able to work all continents in a day, so that was fun. Other than that, haven't been doing too much on the radio. I have been studying for my general, license, which hopefully I'll pass this time. Other than that, haven't been doing too much. So, this is KO4NLR, back to next.
That's awesome, Bree. Congratulations on working all continents. Yeah, Oscar had mentioned that to me. I know you sent him a message, and so that sounds pretty cool. So last up is KO4RBW, who is no comment. So now I will call for any final check-ins or rechecks.
HTV recheck, W8BT.
Okay, so first up is K1HTV. Rich, what you got?
K1HTV. In fact, I forgot to mention that the Bouvet Island expedition is quite active as the Maritime Mobile. They're still, as of yesterday, they're about 900 miles away. So it looks like it'll be another good part of a week before they get there. They were on at noon yesterday. I heard it was DL6KVA/MM. He's on right now, by the way, on 14024 in CW. Heard him on very weekly on Long Path around noon yesterday. He then stopped operating, and a few minutes later, a good friend of mine, V3LYC, Lionel, started operating /MM from the yacht Marama, which is the sailing yacht they're using to go to the Bouvet. And I was able to work him on CW again by the Long Path. The short path was not open at all. I swung the beam directly to Bouvet and couldn't hear him at all. Swung it to the north, and at least they were weak, but I was able to work him. Later that afternoon, around 6 o'clock or so, LA7GIA was on the direct path. I think it was at S9+5. So if you're going to work Bouvet, if you're going to try to work them, you probably have your best chance on 20 meters late afternoon, between 4 and 6. This afternoon at 4:45, worked LD1QI on phone. He was on he's Maritime Mobile from the same ship. They're rotating amongst the operators on side. I got a 5-5 out of him from... as he's heading down towards Bouvet. So they're moving along. Hopefully they'll be able to land okay. And we'll find out in another week or so. This morning at 20 meters is excellent. Long Path to India, VU2WAW. And shortly thereafter, within a half an hour, went on 10 meters and worked VU2KDS, both those in India, both on FTA. So it was good conditions on 10. Congrats to Bree for working all continents in one day. That's great. It's turning into a real DXer. Back to Net Control, K1HTV.
Awesome. Thanks for that, Rich. Next up is W8BT, Travis. I hope I didn't skip you accidentally with the no comments, but what do you have tonight?
Hey, good evening, Garth and Oscar and all the net. Now, I actually just checked in, no comment to start, but I wanted to first comment that I apologize to Gil for not having 2.235, one and a quarter meters up for him. Otherwise, I could have got him a little bit more than six contacts, I guess, but anyway, I apologize to Gil, and yeah, definitely congratulations to Bree for... I believe she said she worked all continents on 10 meters in one day. That's definitely more than I've ever done. I don't think I've ever worked 10 meters or all continents on any bands in one day, so let alone on 10 meters. I just wanted to add too there, I noticed as Rich was talking here a minute ago, I could hear his Kenwood clock click. Going on, so I guess he's in the shack. I didn't notice it during the contest on Simplex, but I did notice it just while he was transmitting last. But and good on his. I listened to the his solar cycle report. So yeah, I hope it gets better. And I'd like to get I definitely need to get a 10-meter dipole at least up in the air. But anyway, that's about all I've got. This is W8BT, back to net.
Awesome. Thanks for that, Travis. And I just realized I never gave my comment. For me, I actually haven't had a whole lot of time to play radio today or in the last few weeks. But what little time that I've had, I've actually been playing around with an Arduino and building some garden sensors. So it's kind of tangentially related. And that's been kind of fun to tinker around with. I've never played around with Arduinos before. So That's it. I'll do one last call for any check-ins or rechecks.
HTV recheck with a question.
Go ahead, Rich.
I was going to ask, what is a garden sensor? And I forgot to mention I did operate the VHF contest over the weekend. 226 QSOs on 6, 111 on 2, 3 on 222, and 8 on 70 centimeters. And thanks to Camp 4 OZH for all the mobile contacts. Good going. So that's it. So what are garden sensors? Over.
So I wanted to build some sensors for I have a pretty large vegetable garden that could track soil moisture, humidity, temperature, light, just to kind of get some metrics from various places around my garden and some of the containers that we use. Certainly not necessary, but maybe at some point in the future be able to automate watering and everything else that might be necessary. But yeah, right now it's just going to be sensing. No automation for watering yet.
Very good. Thank you. K1HTV.
Okay, this is K4BOX for the FARNET. Thanks, everyone, for joining us tonight. If members or other listeners would like further information, please see our website at w4va.org or send a note to FARNET at w4va.org. Feel free to continue this discussion on this repeater. If you would like to make a contact via the UHF repeater or on HF, call now to see who may be interested in scheduling a QSO. I encourage everybody to hop over to the UHF repeater. Like I said, I don't have the capability, though, so somebody else will have to run that. Thank you again, and good evening, 73.
K1HTV, this is KO4VN. I don't know that it's a power supply, but for some reason, power is not getting into my transceiver. I see the 13.7 volts leaving the power supply, but when I hit the power button on the transceiver, nothing comes up. So I'm looking at loose connections and things like that. But I haven't put a whole lot of time into it because I've had a number of other things going on right now. Over.
John, did you check inline fuses to the rig, K3FR?
K4VNZ, K1HTV. K4VNZ, 2 meters, K1HTV. K4VNZ, K4VNZ, K1HTV. K3FR, K1HTV.
So you're good now, Rich. K1HTV, K3FR.
Here's your comment coming back to Chuck. Yeah, either fuse or he's using power poles now, and if you don't make the power poles connect, you don't snap them in all the way, it's possible the problem could be in one of the connections of the power poles.
Yes, you're right. That's the other option would be any of the inline connectors there. Has he got a rig runner type of thing, distribution box, or is he just going power supply cable to a rig cable? Over.
He picked up a multi output individually fused device, power pole device with individual fuses in it. I don't know if they're LED lit. I like the ones with the LEDs behind them, so if the fuse blows and you have a load on it, it'll light red. I didn't ask him if he used the VOM shutdown, so with the voltmeter, you should be able to find out where the problem is. See if he's got it at the end of the cable, and look in the end of the cable, make sure that the power poles are snapped in place properly. Should be able to easily troubleshoot that. So that's it. I guess if he's not here, we can't go any further with helping him.
Yeah, that's it. And the other thing, too, with the power poles is making sure that the you put the connector part in the right side up into the body of the power pole plug, you know, the shell. Anyway, like I said, I'm back happy. I'll probably sometime in May or June go over and pick up another power supply. That way I will run two power supplies, one at each radio, and if one of them goes, I've always got the other one as a backup. I just have to operate a little bit more carefully. So you had a good, pretty good weekend there. Very good. Yeah, I was looking forward to it being good, and it started out not too badly, but, well, yeah.
such as this, the way it goes, you know, a whole bunch of stories there. From not properly checking my antenna connections to make sure I had the right antenna connected on 2 meters, and and also making sure that the radio was set up functionally correct, which I had a little problem as well there on 2 meters. We got it going. You got it going, and now we're back on it. KONHTV, K3FR, we'll drag our feet for Chuck, KO4VNZ.
W8BG.
KO4VNZ.
There you go, Chuck. Do you have have you tried a voltmeter around the end of the wire?
Yes, I did. And I'm getting, like I said, 13.7 volts at the end of the wire. So maybe it's the connector in the radio itself. I have to look in there and see if there's a bit in or something over.
Okay. If you got it out at the end of the cable, the only thing I can think is the other thing would also cause that is a very high resistance connection. I mean, very high resistance where when you put any kind of current at all, the radio would not turn on. So the thing to do is if you could measure the ohmmeter in the back of the connector, if there's enough room at the end of the wire, you could put the negative one on the chassis of the radio and shove the red one, the positive probe into the red connector as you turn on the radio. If you see 12 volts before you turn the radio and you turn the radio on, it goes down very low. That means you have a high resistance contact somewhere in that cable going towards the power pole. Go ahead.
Oh, that's good to know. I hadn't thought of that. I'll have to give that a try next time I'm over working on that. Really good advice. Thank you.
Okay. Ron, okay on all your stuff. And, okay, Travis, got you. 15 is still great. It worked Taiwan. Mark's on there working Asians. And he's worked at ZL, and he's working at ZL. And, good contacts may be made in 15. 10 is pretty much closed now, but the upper bands are in good shape. So, Travis, you have anything to contribute regarding Chuck's power supply?
Pretty much what you just said, Rich. I had some issues when I had the TS-850 in here. If I started pulling too much current, but I've got a problem between a high resistance issue, and it's the meter that I've got wired in for monitoring current voltage. But right now the K3 is running just off a switching power supply. With no fuses, I apologize, but I think it's okay. But anyway, I just wanted to chime in and say I heard Chuck on 70 centimeters while you and Ron were talking on 2 meters. So, but Chuck was really not making the 70 centimeter machine really, really well. So, but I could tell it was him. Anyway, back to you, Rich. K1HTV, W8BT.
K1HTV. Yeah, I heard him for a while. He was in and out, but then he switched quickly to 2 meters, and I caught him right away. This D710 can simultaneously listen on two bands. One thing about for Ron, didn't you have a single fuse going to your power supply to protect the power supply, like a 25 amp fuse or whatever the max for the power supply current max is? Then fan it out both ways using power poles, or what are you using?
Let's see. Yes, I've got a rig runner here with power poles on it, and I got to get underneath there. But the main feed wire from the power supply to the rig runner, I think was 35 amps, the fuses to the 9700 is 20 amps. The fuse to the 7300 is 25, and that's only legacy from the 7100, which did need the 25 because it draws 22 amps as it's transmitting on FT8. But individually, the two, the two of them when they're transmitted together, that only adds up to 36 amps. time to blow on the secondary. The primary went out. The fuse in the primary went out, and that's indicative of other problems there. K1HTV, K2FR.
KGFR, K1HTV. What's the power supply rated at?
It's one of those Samlex 1235 amps, which is 30 amps continuous, 35 instantaneous. But they don't do very much time limit for the instantaneous. So I think it had been transmitting for about 8 seconds before it decided to cook itself over.
I'm using the same power supply here, and I've got a fuse that's like a 30 amp fuse. So if I do put and exceed that, I'd rather blow the fuse than blow the power supply. So for the 35 amp supply, I'm not going to push it beyond 30 amps. And if it goes beyond that, the fuse will blow, and I won't have to lose the Samlex. The Samlex's been very reliable, very quiet, no switching noise or anything. Anyway, okay, I'm going to head upstairs, grab a snack, maybe watch a little TV. All I may work from DX on 15 is still open to the Orient and to the Pacific. Yeah, I worked on AX4. An AX4 is a secondary call for Australia. It was on just a little while ago. And AX4 is ZD. So if you're an AX4, that's not a W call. It's an Australian call. All right, take care, guys. We'll see you later. KO4BNZ. Good luck with the power supply issue. W8BT and K3FR. This is K1HTV. Clear. Good night, guys.
Good night. This is KO4BNZ. Clear.
Good night to you too, Chuck. And also Travis, K3FR.
Chuck, that's another thought. You still there?
For Z Delta right now, W8BT.
AX4ZD, very good. Chuck, you still there?
I'm still here, Rich.
For a test jig, you might want to just run, if you can get some spare black and red connectors, pick up a half a dozen or so pairs of black and red with the pins. Make yourself a Y, simple Y for test purposes. You can have one in, two out, and... with like three separate wires on them, so there's like a three-legged, it's like a triangle, three-sided triangle. Each side of it has a pair, and then you can plug the radio in, and then you can run it. Give yourself a test point. If you can't get, it's difficult sometimes to get to the very back, especially if you're using a big fat wire to get into the back of the power pole. By the way, what number wire are you using on the power pole? Wires from the power supply to the radio.
You know, I don't know. I'm looking on the wires to see if they're labeled. I would guess they're probably like 8 gauge or something.
It's big. You know what? House wiring, 30 amp house wiring for dryers. You know the size of that wire is bigger than that.
Well, like I said, these aren't really labeled. It's just whatever came with the equipment that was handed to me. So I'm not sure what the gauge is. It's pretty big because I'm used to dealing with telephone wire, which is very small gauge, over
22 or 26 nowadays. Yeah, okay, if it came with that, it's probably, well, if it's drawing at 20 amps, it needs to be at least number 12. If it's drawing 30 amps, it's got to be number 10. And I'm not sure how much current that draws. So it may be either if it's a number 10. Now, when you bought the connectors, did you buy individual power did they already have, you said it already had power poles on them, right?
No, I took some wires that had other connectors on them, and I put my own power poles on them, over.
From the radio, the fat wire that comes out of the radio, was it just bare wires at the starting point?
Let me think. It was a really long, long section that had, at the end, it goes into the power supply. It had two connectors. One, what did I use now? I have to think. One was the Anderson Power pole. The other was just some clips to clip on a battery. And then because it was such a long section of wire, I cut some of it down shorter to make some test leads and to connect some other equipment up. Over.
Okay. If it's really big wire, you know, with those power pole pins, did you buy the connectors individually with spare pins?
The spare pins came with the power pole distribution box that I got. Over.
The box, you had spare connectors and spare pins?
Correct. And it also came with fuses. And like you said, I also got a separate box of additional fuses so I could put the right size fuse in for each piece of equipment. Over.
Very good, yeah. And I, for the really small things, you use 1 amps, but the radios need 20 or 25 or even 30 for the real big ones. Okay, well the pins that came, they come in the 15-amp version, which are really will not take anything bigger than, I think, number 14 wire, maybe. And then they have stuff bigger for 30 amps. I'm not sure which ones you got. The bigger ones that are good for 30 amps, you put the wire and then you bend the tabs around the wire and you solder them. Then you shove the thing into the back of the connector. Did you have the 30 amp ones, the real big ones?
Welcome to the W4VA repeater in Warrington, Virginia. Grid Square FM 18 Bravo Radio.
Well, again, I'm not sure because the way things are not labeled, but I did not solder anything. Everything I did was simply crimping. Over.
What kind of crimper do you use? You have a power pole crimper, or what did you, or your suppliers?
I just had an old pair of crimpers that I used at